Oh, the hot air ballooning after what, 2 hours sleep, Mossy? How was it?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. There's nothing like a sunrise over here in Qatar. Amazing. It's a long, long day. But you know what? If anything can keep me awake, it's you three.
Do we take that as a compliment?
I'm not sure how to take that, actually, Mossy.
Silence was defining.
Wales and England scoreless at the moment. USA 1-0 have just taken the lead against Iran. But I don't know if you're catching any of this, but tell us what the atmosphere was like around there where you were. I'm sure that particularly the England and Wales fans would have been converging big time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down in downtown Doha tonight. At a bit of a fan site, actually, and there's, funnily enough, actually, plenty of England and Wales supporters here. I thought they'd all be at the ground, but apparently it is a sellout. So they're the dregs, if you like, with all due respect. And brilliant atmosphere, brilliant. But the it's funny, the English are nervous, the Welsh are confident going into the game, and I guess that's Wales with nothing to lose and England with everything to lose. But yeah, it'll be interesting how that one pans out. But a lot of talk over here about Gareth Southgate and the tactics that he's employed for this World Cup. Very cautious when we really saw a much more gung-ho England at the Euros. Obviously, they got all the way to the final and then lost it late there. But yeah, there's been... I don't know, the tide of public opinion seems to have turned a little bit on Gareth Southgate through this World Cup.
Mossy, you've been hard on England. They still sit on top in their group. What have you been disappointed with? I know their first game, they're on fire, 6-0, I think they won. But what have you been disappointed with?
Clark, it's a hard one to put your finger on. The way they'd been building under Southgate and the style of football, I just feel like it's been a bit disjointed. Yes, they won their first game quite comfortably, and credit to them. But I look at the style of football and whether that's a style that I think can take them right through into the deep stages of this tournament. I just don't think it is. Okay. Their speed of ball movement, their fluency, their synchronicity, if you like, through the team just doesn't seem to be there. It's a bit stop start. And look, I'm, you know, don't take it, my word for it, but I was listening to Gary Neville, former Manchester United and England player, obviously on TV last night, and he was saying very similar to what he probably articulated what I've been feeling, that there's just a real lack of fluency to their performances. Look, if they they'll get through to the next round if they can have a confident win in the round of 16, then, you know, things can turn very quickly. Maybe they're building into the tournament, but it just doesn't seem to have that fluency that fills you with confidence early on.
Well, just on that, Mossy, do you think they're, like, obviously a little bit tense, and once they qualify, then we might see the best in England?
Yeah, right? Maybe that's it. Absolutely, Loz. It's a great point. You know what it's like in sport and Clarky as well.
Well, it's always hard, Mossy, isn't it?
Like, national teams,
yeah. And it's always hard, mate. Sorry about that. But it's hard when, you know, I know that Southgate's coming under pressure, but he's the one that's got to make all decisions and his job's on the line. And it's always easier for others to go, well, we need to do this and do that. But sometimes when you're in the hot seat, it's a bit more challenging.
100%. And if you replace Gareth Southgate's name with Graham Arnold, I'd probably go into bat for him. But it's easy to throw mud from the outside, isn't it? But it's the pressure that comes with being an England national team. And I think in any sport, their supporters just seem to put so much pressure on them. And particularly in the football department, you know, when they go into major tournaments, the weight of expectation on them, considering they haven't won a World Cup since 1966, is actually ridiculous. And maybe that expectation is too much, similar to what we feel with the Socceroos now. You know, there is a feeling in Australia that we just had a God-given right to qualify for World Cup finals and then do something when we're there. And it's not the case. It's a bloody hard stage to perform on and succeed on.
Well, this time tomorrow, mate, we'll know our destiny. We'll know whether our campaign continues or we're out of the World Cup. What's the feeling like over there and how are they approaching it? And are they all fit?
They are clean bill of health. Spoke to Arnie earlier today, and mate, I've been really impressed. And look, you know, people will no doubt paint me with the bias brush here, but I've been really impressed with the mentality post the Tunisia game. It was, you know, wild scenes at full time, and rightly so. And until Arnie got them into that circle on the pitch and said, great performance, great result, be proud, enjoy tonight, but focus. As soon as we wake up tomorrow morning, we focus and get an early night tonight. And, you know, we had that post-match function. The players didn't touch alcohol. They had their suppression garments on, compression garments, not suppression. And, you know, it was a real focus, and that's carried on over the last couple of days. They're thrilled with that result, don't get me wrong, but they are absolutely determined to go one step further and really put themselves in the same sort of echelon as the Golden Generation. They've got an opportunity to do that, even though they're not playing individually at the same level as that Golden Generation were. At a World Cup, they've got a chance to go to the round of 16, and they know that they can feel it, they can touch it, and they can smell it. So, you know, where Arnie goes with selections, I think that's crucial. You know, does he go for some fresh players, or does he stick with the tried and tested? I sense there'll be a change at right fullback. I think Karacic may be replaced by Degenek. And whether he tries to freshen the midfield up or not, time will tell. But really happy with the mindset of the playing group going into tomorrow night.
Is it time for Hrustić to start?
No, I don't think it is, Mido. I just don't think he's physically in the right shape to start the game. I think he's going to be better served coming off the bench for us.
Okay. And Denmark, I mean, how do you expect them to attack us? Mossy, and obviously Christian Eriksen there. Oh, what a story he is, just individually, considering, well, he virtually died on the pitch, what, a year or two ago, and here he is at a World Cup again, scored against us 4 years ago. But what can we expect from Denmark?
Absolutely incredible, Christian Eriksen, and, you know, as a supporter on the other side of the fence tomorrow night, obviously I hope he's on the losing side, but it is inspirational to see him come back like he has from that heart scare. But, look, I think Denmark are going into this game with everything to lose. Australia's got everything to gain. Let's not beat around the bush with that one. So I think they'll be cautious. I think they'll try and set the platform physically in the first half. We need to match that and set the platform for ourselves. And then I think the better, you know, whoever executes their game plan better on the night will win the game in the second half. So I'm expecting an arm wrestle first half, really tense, really physical. I'm expecting Australia to come out like the Terriers that they did the other night against Tunisia again, full of energy and bite. And then the better footballing side in the second half will come away with the points. If it's all square, that is a win for us. If we can draw this game, we're not going out for the draw, but if we end up with a draw, that will be a victory to Australia because that will take us through to the second round.
Okay, give us a prediction.
I'm going with 1-0. I thought long and hard about this. Some people are predicting a high-scoring game. I don't think it will be. I think it'll be a real arm wrestle. We'll get there by the odd goal. So I'm going to predict 1-0. It wouldn't surprise me if it was 1-1. But I really think we're in this up to our eyeballs. I think we've got an absolutely great chance of going through to the second round. And, you know, having Graham Arnold's wife, Sarah, come out and absolutely smash the critics back home, I think that just adds to the narrative. Great story in the Telegraph. I think the stage is set and all the ingredients are there for a great Australian story.
Who scores the goal?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me this one. Yep. I'm going to go with Juki. I just think Juki, having caught up with him after the game the other night, the state of mind he's in, the physical condition he's in, the confidence he's gained from scoring that goal and going to an elite group of only 8 Australians to score at a World Cup. I just see him backing that up with another crucial goal and really, you know, he's etched his name into Australian football folklore, but I think he's going to go to a whole new level tomorrow night. It's a type of game that suits him to a T because it'll be a really physical, tough encounter and he just loves that stuff.
Okay, well, there you have it. The same game multi, 1-0 Australia. Mitch Duke, anytime goal scorer or to score. $26, Mossy. Give it strength. Give the Socceroos strength. Enjoy.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Looking forward to it. And I will be talking to you just after the game because it's a 6 o'clock kickoff here. So look forward to chatting again this time tomorrow.
Thanks so much, mate.
Cheers, guys.